Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's resume with the A to Z of Merseyside football. We've been through some remarkable, wonderful years, the late 70s, as we're on our Fs because we're on Football League Championships. So we went through the late 70s where Liverpool dominated everything. We've just emerged into the 80s. There's so many more stories to tell, and John Keith is the man to impart them. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve.
Where do we pick up?
Well, we got to 79-80 title in the last episode. So Liverpool's grip on that title was broken by Aston Villa in 1980-81, the Anfield club finishing fifth, their lowest for a decade, and also saw their three-year 85-match unbeaten home record ended in January by Leicester's 2-1 win. But Paisley's side still kept the silverware rolling into Anfield. They won the League Cup, beating West Ham in the replayed final at Villa Park, then applied a glorious climax to the season, toppling Real Madrid 1-0 in Paris to capture the European Cup for the third time. The winner came from the unlikely boot of left-back Alan Kennedy, who celebrated with an ecstatic race across the running track and leap across the stadium moat. "I ran so far I thought I'd end up at the Eiffel Tower," joked Kennedy, whose mother once served fish and chips in County Durham to a teenage Bob Paisley.
Oh, are you suggesting there was something more than just the fish and chips?
Alan said they were just good friends.
Right, okay. Fair dues. But they did know each other.
Oh, knew each other very well. He used to go into the shop where she served, yes. Amazing twist. She sadly died shortly before Alan joined Liverpool, which he was rather sad about. She would have liked to have seen him link up with Bob, obviously, having known him as a young girl. Kennedy's goal secured Paisley's third triumph in Europe's Premier competition, and he remains the only Briton to achieve that feat. The only other manager to win three, Carlo Ancelotti. The following season of 81-82, the first under 3 points for a win, it was back to domestic title winning for Paisley and Liverpool. The championship was won indeed after major change and transition in the Liverpool ranks. The European Cup final proved to be the last of Ray Clements's 665 Liverpool appearances. He left for a new challenge at Tottenham with a wide reputation as Anfield's best ever goalkeeper, a compliment in itself really given his predecessor such as Sam Hardy and Elisha Scott. But the
I've spoken to Ray about this, and he's told me that no one knew when they were playing the final that he was going to announce that that was the end of his Liverpool career.
No.
He literally went in the dressing room, they won the European Cup, and he decided that he'd done all he could do. The challenge wasn't there anymore with Liverpool.
That is exactly right. We did a stage show with Ray last year, and he told the audience that in the dressing room he just felt flat. He said, I've done all I can at Liverpool. He felt there was nothing left to achieve.
It's remarkable that you'd get those feelings after so much success with the football club. You know, the fact that you just wouldn't want to keep doing it with the same football club.
Yeah, I suppose so. People are different, aren't they? I mean, Kevin Keegan tasted success with Liverpool and he wanted the challenge abroad. Ray just wanted a new club, I think, something different. But anyway, the man who followed him was never one to shirk a challenge, and following Clem was a challenge. Bruce Grobbelaar, a South African-born former Zimbabwe jungle fighter, signed by Paisley for £250,000 from Vancouver Whitecaps after a loan spell at Crewe, gave immediate notice he was his own man. I was there to witness this. On his debut in a pre-season game in Switzerland, he suddenly decided to swing on the crossbar, bringing the Liverpool bench to their feet as one, as if they'd all been choreographed, because Liverpool keepers didn't do that sort of thing. But the boot room eventually accepted his bizarre antics simply because he was a superb keeper. And Grobbelaar was a 62-match ever-present in his debut season as Paisley's new-look side completed a Championship and League Cup double. Jimmy Case and Ray Kennedy moved on to Brighton and Swansea, respectively. Mark Lawrenson arrived from Brighton, while two gifted youngsters, Irish midfielder Ronnie Whelan and Welsh striker Ian Rush, established themselves as stars in Paisley's new side. Rush formed a front two with Kenny Dalglish that Match of the Day viewers voted English football's best post-war attack duo. And Rush blitzed 30 goals. Dalglish scored 22. Some total from the two of them. Whelan, rising to the massive task of succeeding the great Ray Kennedy on the left of midfield, weighed in with 14 goals, while another new face, Craig Johnston, a £575,000 buy from Middlesbrough, also broke through and bagged 7 goals. Yet, Paisley and his side had to navigate rough waters before sailing into port, flying the championship flag. In the calendar year of 1981, they won only 12 of 34 league games. Their fortunes turned on Boxing Day with a 3-1 home defeat by Manchester City. That left them languishing 12th in the league table. Now, the team meeting that followed that crushing defeat, Paisley and Joe Fagan reading the riot act to the squad, has gone down as one of the pivotal moments in Anfield history. So was Paisley's decision to liberate Phil Thompson from the responsibility of captaincy and place it on the shoulders of Graham Souness, of whom Paisley remarked, "As well as being a great player, he's got that touch of arrogance. It wouldn't surprise me if he tossed it with a gold-plated credit card instead of a coin." Which was a lovely line about Graham from Bob. The effect was immediate. In the next outing after the City debacle, they won 4-0 at Swansea in the FA Cup and went on to rattle up 20 wins in their final 25 league games, winning 11 in a row between early March and the start of May. Their title rivals Ipswich, who finished runners-up, were dismantled 4-0 at Anfield. Manchester City paid for their Boxing Day win at Anfield, feeling the lash of Liverpool revenge in the return, Paisley's side winning 5-0 at Main Road, while Manchester United were beaten 1-0 at Old Trafford through a Craig Johnston goal. Now, Grobbelaar distinguished himself in that game by saving a Frank Stapleton penalty, but it was thanks to a surreal piece of good fortune. Reading the match programme while sitting on the toilet before kick-off, Grobbelaar spotted a picture of Stapleton's previous spot kick.
That was his homework, was it?
And it was his homework, sitting on the toilet, spot it in the programme, and went the right way to keep out the Irish striker's attempt. That doesn't matter how you do it, Steve.
No, as long as you know. Well, he clearly hadn't done his homework before then, had he?
Well, you can say he really got back to basics on that one, can't you? The title was duly secured in Liverpool's penultimate match, a 3-1 home win over Tottenham, which marked Ray Clements' emotional return to Anfield with a cop salute that brought tears to his eyes. Glenn Hoddle's first half strike threatened to tear up Liverpool's script, but waves of attack after the interval produced goals for Lawrenson, Dalglish and Whelan, and a record 13th league title. Liverpool finished with 87 points, 4 more than Ipswich, 9 more than third place Manchester United. And a jubilant Bob Paisley said, "I'm so proud about this championship win because we've done it despite all the rebuilding during the season." And a year later, the Liverpool manager would bow out with the title retained and a 9-year collection of trophies unequalled in English football before or since.
You've got to say, a very intelligent squad reshuffle. The scouts, the people who are bringing the players in, knew what they were doing. You look at the players who left, as you mentioned, your Jimmy Cases, your Ray Kennedys, and then look at the replacements. And
Absolutely.
It's almost like they go up a rung. You know, they don't go down a rung.
And it was with some very young players as well, Steve. You know, so they set in motion a Liverpool period of domination for years to come through the changes Bob made. But this was what Bob had, and everyone who worked with him, the boot room, and players like Tommy Smith, who later joined the boot room, albeit briefly in Tommy's case, they all said if you went to a match with Bob, it was uncanny that after 20 minutes, he'd tell you the strengths and weaknesses of every player on the pitch. Mm. And Bob always said even Pele had a weakness, as long as you could find it, but every player has a weakness. He always said that.
What year was Jeff Twentyman working up to in terms of?
Oh, Jeff Twentyman was there. Yes, he was.
Well, what year did he work up to? Was that?
Oh well,
did it span a couple of decades?
Oh yes. Oh, yeah. He was chief scout
because
for a long time. Yes.
He's very much credited, isn't he? With
his diary. Well, I think there was a book published of Jeff's diaries. Jeff stood behind the goal watching Ian Rush. Jeff used to pay to go into matches to watch players, so nobody would really know he was there. He spotted Ian Rush and he came back very excited and told Bob. Then Bob went to see him and said, "He's the one we want." So, you know, once Bob had sized him up, that was it. They had to get him.
Brilliant stuff. I'm sure we'll touch on Jeff Twentyman later on in the A to Z of Merseyside football. John Keith As always, with the narrative, if you want to listen to more, we'll make sure that's out on social media. Or if you'd like to catch a copy of John's brilliant book, From Reykjavik to Rome, either get in touch with ourselves here. You can send me an email, steve@radiocity.co.uk, or you'll find it in local booksellers as well, including in Crosby and in Heswell. It's a brilliant book which charters Liverpool's European success. More from the A to Z of Merseyside football coming your way next week.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.